Hello everyone, John Aldridge here with episode 8, already 8, of Aldo Meets podcast in conjunction with the Hotel Anfield. I'm here today with James Pearce, my friend Peter Shriversman.
Ooh,
wow. God, I got that right. Oh, you've been practicing. Yeah. And none other than one of our first Brazilian players at Anfield, Fabio Aurelio, who's become a good friend of mine, top man. Done great things for us, and we're delighted to see you, pal.
Yeah, it's great, first
of all, we have to talk about why you've been here for over a week now. And the people don't know, because it wasn't widely publicised, because we had the fantastic game last week, which Fabio's been included the last few years, haven't you, mate? And done brilliant for us when we played Ajax in front of 60,000 people. The charity, only Liverpool could do that in England. The only other team for me possibly who could do it would be Celtic in Scotland. That's only my opinion. But 60,000 people turned up to watch the ex-players. Yeah. Unbelievable. And I want to say on behalf of everyone who was concerned on that day, and the kids who came for the first time at Anfield, who watched this fantastic game unfold, you know, they can't get tickets for a Liverpool game for love of money, because you know how hard it is. They turned up and watched a great game of football. And they celebrated like it was the first team. It's sad, but it's brilliant.
Yeah.
That the day worked out, and the money raised, you know, the foundation, there's over £1 million, with it being 60,000, at least over £1 million. And the ex-players, who I've been very fortunate to be the chairman of over the last 10 years or so, we get 10% of that gate. For any former player who falls upon hard times, the family fall upon hard times with them in the house, I've already contributed a lot to Ron Yates, one of our greatest captains, who's had Alzheimer's for some years now, and helped him and his family, and Chris Lawler just recently. So that's the great thing that comes out of these games. We get a pot of money, along with the golf day and the Christmas, we have a pot of money that we've got there for any one of our fantastic players. And without them, we wouldn't be here now. So I'd like to thank everyone who turned up at that game. And Fabio, going on to Fabio now, he's been in Liverpool for 8 days now, and he's going on Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Okay. And he's going to tell you what happened.
Oh, so guys, first of all, it's a pleasure having the opportunity to be with you, James, Peter, and to be involved in those kind of games, as you said, the legend ones. Once you finish football, you never expect you have the opportunity to stand out at Anfield again and be in front of an unbelievable crowd, as we normally have been having all these games. I had the opportunity to participate with Liverpool. As you said, it's been, I think, it's my fourth game now. Mm-hmm. So I really appreciated the opportunity to be involved on that and participate. And especially knowing that the fans contribute a lot for this initiative of the club to help the community, the city, yeah, the ex-players. As Aldo said, that made this great history the club has, and because of them we are here, as you said. So, and I'm here since almost 2 weeks now, because I came also a few days earlier, previous to the game. So, and the game, I had an accident. No, I think it always can happen once you go out to play some physical activities or contact game, as football is. And well, obviously you don't expect that to happen on a charity or legends match, but it was as always been. You know, once you go out there and you play against someone in front of that amount of people, especially wearing the Liverpool shirt, you always want to win and do well. The competitivity absolutely you have inside, you always comes out. And but really was an accident. I tried to block in the second goal they scored. And when the guy finished, he ended up hitting my back with his knee. So I had a few ribs fracture. So
five.
I had to.
Five.
Yeah.
Five ribs. Wow. And you had problems with your lung.
Yeah, a little point in my lung. And fortunately, it's all been much better now. As always, really well looked after by the club and all his people. And so it's always good side on things, you know, like I could enjoy the game yesterday and being able to meet you guys here. So I'm improving really well and really appreciate all the support I had and people asking how I was recovering and everything. So it's been fantastic apart from the accident, and I could enjoy most of my part on the game, so
yeah,
that was good. Yeah. I would be mad if it would happen at the beginning or something like that.
But don't for those people, well, obviously we've all had accidents over our years, but ribs are horrible. Ribs are right up there,
yeah,
with the worst pain. You can't sneeze, you can't laugh, you can't fart. You can't, honestly, every time you, it absolutely kills you, doesn't it? It kills you. I'm not saying you fart, but it is, you know, and I really, when I found out, I didn't know. I met Bill Bygrave, who's the club's padre. He's a lovely fella. And I was in the gym last Thursday, and he said, Fabio's done it. I thought he'd gone home to Brazil. I didn't even know. It wasn't publicised. But, you know, he doesn't want anyone to know.
Any fuss, yeah.
But, you know, it's... Anyway, I'm glad you're on the mend, mate. Glad you're on the mend.
So did you have to spend... Was it just the one night in hospital?
Yeah, I spent one night in hospital and then stayed at the hotel while it settles. Especially the lung, I couldn't fly the first few days. This is why I had to wait a little bit more.
Was that the Royal Hospital were you at?
Or? Aintree.
Aintree Hospital. Yeah. So when were you when were you supposed to fly home?
The last... Tuesday?
Right.
Tuesday, Wednesday, let's... Right.
And how long have they said before you make a complete recovery?
At the beginning, the papers from hospital, they would say I would need 3 weeks to fly back.
Right.
So we were a bit scared about that because that would be a long time. But then the specialist saw the x-rays and things and he said, no, it should be settled now. I did an x-ray last Thursday. The lung was okay, so... And the ribs is just... matter of time, they will get healed as well. Mm-hmm.
Have you had to cancel things you were supposed to do back home?
Yeah, I had to. I was supposed to come to Valencia next Tuesday, tomorrow, because we had a game as well on the next Friday, on the 5th of April. It's like the 20 years anniversary of the triple we won there. Mm. So I was supposed to be involved on that game, but next time. Next time, maybe 30 anniversary.
where is home for you these days?
Brazil. I live in São Carlos.
Right. Was that your hometown you grew up?
And... Where I grew up, and I keep my family there, jobs there, and everything is pretty much settled there. And it's 2 hours and a half, more or less, from São Paulo. So we are luckily, we are in a good area that... 2 hours drive, we can go much part of the São Paulo state, so it's good.
Do you still work as an agent?
Yeah, I run a company with my brother-in-law that was also a footballer. He played for Celta Vigo, for Betis in Spain. We played together at the bases of São Paulo national team. So when we are always São Carlos where I live and doing the business there.
So how many players do you represent?
Around 35, more or less now.
Yeah. And is that primarily, are they just Brazil based or are there also players in Europe you look after? Or?
Yeah, no, Brazilian ones, most of them Brazilian and young ones, especially. A few are in Europe. So, I mean, one in Russia and Portugal, we have a few. So it's been, but especially the young ones that are in Brazil.
Yeah. Did you think about coaching or management at all after you finished playing? Or?
No, it was nothing that I would like to do in that way. Love the game. Like if it was to be involved, it would be like kicking the ball to train the goalkeepers or being assisting on the work, on training sessions. But being a manager, I know, in my opinion, is really tough job and difficult. I really understand why maybe Klopp needs a break now after such a wonderful job he's been doing for quite a few years now. So. And the stress and the time it takes and all the attention you must have. So you pretty much don't have life. You know, if you are in those positions and was nothing, I would like to be involved after spending 17 years as professional. So I'd be more close to the family, enjoy the kids growing.
Yeah.
On the way here, Fabio, we spoke briefly. We touched on your family and how different growing up must be these days to back then when you grew up in São Carlos. But How was your childhood there? Was it did you have a good time? How did you end up being spotted by Sao Paulo?
Yeah, I was always like my mom always saying that my mother-in-law, she used to bring like lemons at home when I was 1 year old or year and a half. And I used to kick lemons to her, like, you know, like having good time with that. And so I grew up with football. Most of the kids, I think nowadays, my dad, he had a football at my cut.
Your cot, yeah, as a baby. Yeah.
Before I was born. So my dad used to play football as well. My mom always say, your dad was better than you, but at the time he didn't have the opportunity.
They always say that.
Had to work because... at that time football was not well seen as today, you know. So but he always helped me. I always was following him wherever he was going and seeing the he playing, so I could follow him a little bit when I was young. And with 14 years old, I started to join São Paulo. Like I grew up in São Carlos. We did a competition there around 13 years old. We won against a team close to São Paulo. Was one good team at the time, Rio Branco Americana. So we won against them the final, playing for my city. And then they called me next year to do like a trial. I stayed there for a month. So I stayed there for a month. And they said, no, well, now you
how
can...
How old was you then, sorry?
I was 13 to 14.
That's all that, by the way. That's all that.
And were you a left back then already? Or did you play a different position?
I was more like a left midfielder.
Yeah.
Like number 10, like this. But then one coach told me at the age 12, 13, Fabio, what do you think about left back? Because at the time in Brazil, they were like everyone looking for left backs, no left backs in the game. I think with your characteristics, you could be good as a left back. Thomas is his name. So at the time I said, it's okay. So I was playing at older ages as a left back. So we won the tournament. Then I went to do the trial with Rio Branco. Spent there a month. I said, no, you are approved. So we need to get the, we had the kind of federations, like I was attached to the club in my hometown. So I need to get the freedom letter to be able to join the other club. That took a while for me to get that because the club didn't want to release me. But at the end, I got it and I went to my godfather. That one, he met me. I was 8 years old playing for the city. And he started helping me because he knew I was a São Paulo fan and he was mad from São Paulo. And he was always a guy, like he was a university teacher and he used to help with the community there. So he started to help me, give me like São Paulo shirts. São Paulo used to hold the Copa São Paulo at the city where I live. So he used to organize and help São Paulo because they would stay there for the competition. So once I passed the test at Rio Branco, he called one of the coaches under 14s of São Paulo, said, oh, my godson passed this test in this club. Don't you want to see him? Because I had the liberation, I was just ready to go there. Because I called him Padrinho, Godfather, I'm going to this club. Oh, wait. I will call Nelsinho, who was the coach of São Paulo under 14. And said, no, bring him next Friday. So I went to a city close to São Paulo on the Friday afternoon. I play a game there. I play another one the Saturday morning as a center back, left center back. And they put me on the bus and took me to Morumbi, the São Paulo stadium, and where the base is, he lives there. So I never came back to Rio Branco and started my journey in São Paulo with 14 years old. It was February 94. I arrived in São Paulo. So in April 94, 2 months after, I was called by the national team under 15s. And I was like, How did that happen? Because I was so happy because I was joining the club I supported. So, and I didn't know the coach of the national team was watching the training sessions. And so...
What age were you then? 15?
14. So then I started my journey at the national team as well. Like 2 months after I just had joined São Paulo, that is a big club, difficult to get. So living away from home and never had lived home, left home before.
Wait, was you living in
São Carlos?
Someone's house looking after you?
No, or? In the stadium.
Oh, you living
there?
No,
in the, below the... Oh,
okay.
There's like a training ground or... Was it at the training?
Yeah, like the facilities for the younger ones were just below the.
They had change rooms in there, and you stayed there. Oh, all right. So you had people around you the same age.
Yeah. We were 12, 15.
That's interesting.
But all ages were just settled there.
Was it the first time you were away from home as a boy as well? I mean, like permanently away?
Yes, yes.
Because I know it's only 2 hours from home, but
it's not easy.
Yeah.
I know it was very hard for you to go to Newport, you know, you're still telling us about the culture shock.
When I first, I must have been really hard at that age, because when I first left home, I was 20 to go down to Newport. And I lived in Dix with this, you know, a lovely old lady. She looked after me in their house. I found it the first week. The first game I played was for the reserves the day after I left Liverpool. It was like I had my boots on the wrong foot. It's the worst game I have ever played in my life. But it was all the emotions leaving home for the first time. It without me knowing it, it really affected me. But for that age to go and do that, that's difficult. Yeah, away from your mum and dad at that age, that's really hard. And it makes you more of a man. It makes you, you know, grow up quick, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who was your hero during that period in Brazilian football, maybe, or European football? Who did you look up to as a player?
I used to look at the time, I remember like the 90s, Brazil, like Branco was the left back, had a great shot. And after and more I followed was Leonardo. He also played for Valencia, he played for the national team. Mm. He was like a lefty back that would play in the middle as well. So at the time he would speak, I think, 5 idioms. And so all of that caught my attention, his style of play, how he was like outside the pitch. And I had the opportunity to meet him once I started in the national team. So they had just won the 94 World Cup. Mm. And him and Jorginho, the right fullback. So they went there at the national team facilities while we were training to give us a meeting to talk to us. We were 14 years old. So, and I had a picture with him there, and a few years behind, I sent the picture to him and said, I remember this day, I always followed you. And
nice.
So it's
special moments.
Yeah, really special.
You played Brazilian youth team football with Ronaldinho, didn't you? Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What was that like?
Yeah, it was amazing because I could see how he grew as a footballer and what he became, you know, as well. He changed a lot though after I think he joined Europe. I think PSG first, you know.
Mm.
Before joining Barcelona, but even the national team at younger age, you could see the potential he had, the skills he had. So was amazing having the opportunity to join him.
Ronaldinho was a Barcelona, wasn't he?
Yeah.
My son played for Derry City.
Oh yeah.
For a few months back in them days, and Barcelona played Derry City away in this game. They came over and played. And my son told me he marked Ronaldinho off the game.
Yeah.
But he played against him.
He was incredible, wasn't he?
Yeah, he played against him, and he said it was such a fantastic day. It was chocking. He said the experience was brilliant. He said, watching, and he had to try and mark him. He said, Dad, it was impossible. He said he was everywhere. But growing up, we spoke about this with Lucas Leiva. I love Brazil. When I was young, I love Pelé. From when I was a kid and the first, other than Roger Hunt in Liverpool, I just love Pelé. And obviously Brazil was just an amazing side. And I know everyone followed Brazil because the skills there. And you go back to what you were talking there before about, you know, you're kicking lemons. In them days, do you see they're playing on the beach with cans? That's what they used to kick the cans on the beach and flick the cans up and anything that they could get
yeah,
because they didn't have an awful lot. like where I was from in Garston. But yeah, but I was lucky to, we played Brazil in 1986, 87 at Lansdowne Road. And we beat them 1-0. Beat them 1-0. I was giving it one. And I actually played against Brazil and we won 1-0 in the Republic of Ireland. It was a great game, to be fair. But I will never forget that. That's right up there because of the respect I have for Brazil as a team. And so should, we all should, for what they've achieved over the years. They're the leading brand, the leading team, the leading people in football. If you want to watch football other than your country, they're on the telly.
Yeah.
You watch Brazil, don't you? Not Germany.
And Fabio, you go to the Olympics with Brazil in Sydney, don't you, in 2000, and then that is the summer when you come across to Europe to sign for Valencia. When you were coming through, was it always your dream to test yourself in European football, and how did the move to Valencia come about?
Yeah, it was more like something natural that happens. Like, as my whole career, to be honest, like, nowadays, I don't know if because of the social media, because all the information the kids have, so they are always like looking forward for things. Obviously, I want to become a footballer, but like I was like living the day, you know, like enjoying the game, doing my best every day. And then the things start to happen naturally without me thinking, oh, now next year I would like to be somewhere else. I would like to be in Europe. I would like. So it was just like things were happening. I was living it and then continue happening. So after the Olympics, I was talking, to be honest, with Napoli at the time, because Alemão was a Brazilian player, used to play for Brazil national team and also played in Napoli. He came and talked to me just prior to the Olympics that Napoli would take me. And then during the Olympics appears Valencia. And I remember talking to Luxemburgo, that was the coach at the time, asking his advice about what he would think about those two possibilities where he thought it would fit more for me, the style of play would be better. And he told, no, just go to Valencia. I think you'll be better for you there. You adapt well. So then I took that decision and joined Valencia after the Olympics.
Yeah, and amazing success there. Part of two La Liga winning teams. Mm-hmm. You won the UEFA Cup as well. And of course, you know, Rafa Benitez became like a real big influence on your career, wasn't it? Well, maybe if you could talk a little bit about what was he like to play for in those early days at Valencia?
Yeah, it was like I could see all his way through, to be honest, because I arrived 6 months before Rafa. So Hector Cooper was the coach at the time. He had got to two Champions League final at the time consecutively, but he lost both. So then they decided to change him. After losing, I think Bayern de Munich lost on penalties, the second one. And then the next season, Rafa had just got promotion with, I think, Tenerife it was. And then Valencia gave him the job. It was Benitez and Paco Ayestarán. And then their first season, like we won the league, like 31 years after their last title on La Liga. So that was for the city, for everyone, was like something incredible, like no one would believe, because in Spain you always had Barcelona and Real Madrid with budgets and players that no one expect to beat. And for us, Valencia, we had a very competitive team, and being able to accomplish that for Rafa, because pretty much it was his work on that, with rotation and things. Were always like questioning him, why do you do rotation? Why do you change the team? Why don't repeat the team?
Yeah. Do you think he was a bit ahead of his time with rotation? Because even when he was at Liverpool, it became a big thing. Why would you rotate? Yet now it's not even discussed, is it?
Rotate. I remember him doing Radio City. He held a record for a team not keeping the same team for 90 minutes, didn't he? It was ridiculous, 100 and odd games something like that. But that's interesting, that, because in them days...
Back then, other managers didn't really do it,
There was three subs only in them days. There was three subs. And to be honest, you wouldn't really think about rotating. As a coach or a manager, your team's doing well. You leave it as is. You're a little bit like scared of changing things sometimes.
Yeah.
But watching Rafa, I'm pretty sure every 60th minute or 61st minute, he'd make the change. Because we used to say on Radio City, the change is going to come. and bang on, whether we win and lose and draw, and he'd always do that that same minute, for which is a bit crazy to be quite honest, but it's something that he just must believe in integrally to do that.
Yeah.
If I was a coach, I wouldn't do the same way he did, but worked really well at our time there. Because I think being in Valencia, I understand that, because as some of the games you have to adapt to your position. But depends the situation you have or the team you are, like Liverpool, for example, or the big teams. Like, you shouldn't be worried about some teams. Obviously, you have to be careful.
Yeah.
But they need to care more about you than you
Absolutely.
About them.
Mm-hmm.
No, like, so this is my style. This is my team. I will do this. And I saw that Rafa, he was more like aware of the opposition.
Yeah.
So this, I think, maybe why he used to do more changes, because expecting that to happen. So with this player, I can block there, or I can stop this. So this, I can damage more with this player. This is why I think he used more rotation, because he was analyzing game by game.
Yes,
was my understanding.
That's a good point, you know, because as managing, like, I'd managed and all that. Johnny King, who I had so much respect for, Johnny, lovely fat tramier, he used to put a board up before we played the game, in the team meeting before we travel after our pre-match meal. He put a board up with the opposition, and he'd tell you all about the opposition. And I'd be shitting myself thinking, they must be really good, by the way, when you only need to know your certain job and what they do, set plays, do that, but then it's all about you. Because it can have a negative effect.
Yeah.
Too much talk about the opposition. Well, I think, but you do need to know certain things, obviously. But then, what you can do to them, let them know that. Because otherwise, the end up you thinking you're playing against Brazil.
Yeah.
No, that makes sense, you know. But that's interesting, that about Rafa.
Yeah. And summer of 2006, you make the move to Liverpool. How did that come about? You were obviously a free agent that summer. Did you speak to a number of other clubs? And was Rafa the kind of decisive factor in deciding to come here?
Yeah, pretty much was on Rafa, because I was dealing with renew my contract with Valencia. At the time, it was Kiki Sanchez Flores, the coach there. I think he coached, you know, a few teams in Premier League, you know, recently. Sanchez Flores.
Was he Watford? Did he ever go to Watford? Or? Swansea, maybe? As well.
I mean, nobody lasts long at Watford, sadly, you know. But
yes. When you went Watford, they changed every 3 months, didn't they? Yeah, when they were in the Premiership, yeah.
So then I received a call from Rafa, I think it was around February or something like this day, asking me if I would like to join Liverpool, he would like to have me here. And obviously that, especially at the time, having worked with him 3 years, before he came to Liverpool. And at the time, I remember having the ambition to go to the national team, because I had the chance in Valencia once. It was called by Parreira, was the coach at the time, with the national team. And I got a knee problem that took me a while to recover. So I missed the opportunity. And I was looking to the national team. And in Valencia, I would play left back, left winger, left midfielder. Kike would use me in those positions. And I would like to settle as a left fullback, because it was something I would have chance in the national team. So then I saw the opportunity with Rafa, a coach that knows me well, and having that in mind. And obviously Liverpool is something really caught my attention, because especially being first Brazilian to join the club.
Yeah.
So then I decided to not renew the contract with Valencia and join Liverpool.
Well, we'll finish the first half on that, although Meets podcast, the 8-1 already, as I've just said, with Fabio, James and Peter. And we're going to kick on and move on to what we were just talking about, which is some very interesting facts. And the Mestalla, I played the Real Sociedad on a couple of occasions. I think the Mestalla is probably the Anfield of the La Liga. Mm. It's the most like stadium to what you get at Anfield, in my opinion. Very intimidating.
Yeah.
So we'll move on in a minute.
Right, Fabio, part number two of All the Meats. So your early days at Liverpool when you arrived here, obviously we spoke about the Rafa connection. So I assume that will have made your start here easier. But how friendly, how welcoming was Liverpool for you, the changing room, the city? What was your first impressions?
Yeah, it was quite good, to be honest. Like once I announced it back in Valencia that I was living there to come here, was everyone like saying, what are you doing? Are you crazy? You're living this weather to go there, to go. You won't see the sunshine anymore. But like, I was so excited about it. And the English was something I would like to learn as well. Still not the best one, but.
No, because you're not speaking English at that time. No,
nothing at all. So it was something like culturally, I was looking forward to that as well. So, but at the beginning, I struggled in the club because it was easy to adapt because a lot of Spanishes.
Yeah.
I was coming from Spain, so all the Rafa, his assistants, some of the players, they were Spanish, or I think it was Mascherano who came at the time. It was later, I think, no?
But people don't know, like, obviously, Spanish, but Portuguese is different. It's like French and Spanish put together. So it is a little bit different. You've got to learn the Spanish side of it. You know, the Portuguese helps you a little bit, but there's a lot more to it, isn't it?
And that helped me in Valencia. Was like when I went to Valencia, I was the only Brazilian as well. So I had to deal with it and learn as quick as possible. So, but it's more similar to Portuguese. It's not the same, but like 6 months I was doing okay with Spanish. But with English, it was different because I didn't have that challenge of like, I can understand someone else. I just need to learn English. At the time, it was everything. You go to the easiest way, you know, once you don't know how to speak. Or so you get things on the easiest side of it. So
and did you all have lessons Spanish, after training?
I had English.
When I went to similar to me.
He was from Ireland.
You got English lessons too,
from
yeah?
Dublin, yeah?
Well, I still need English lessons.
That's what I was going to say.
But when I went to Real Sociedad, I didn't have a clue. I hated school. I did have no school. But I like, it's very important to show your teammates that you try, you learn as soon as possible. So after training, and I nearly every 4 times a week, I used to like try to get into the Spanish. And I loved it. I really enjoyed it. Like, you wanted to learn English. For the first time in my life, I wanted to learn Spanish. So, and I think it helps when your teammates see you trying to converse for them.
Yeah.
I used to make stupid jokes up in Spanish for the lads, and they fucking loved it. They were laughing. All these Liverpool sayings I was saying in Spanish probably made no sense. made them laugh. It's I can see where you come from, Fabio.
Yeah, but in other way, like, I was not a big speaker. I never was, like, always just a few words. And English teacher was great because he was from Dublin.
Okay.
His English was very clean. But once I was out on the supermarket or someone else here in Liverpool with this Scouse accent, yeah. I said,
you've got no chance. Especially with Jamie Carragher.
No chance. Not what he teaches me.
So. He taught me.
And Fabio, you had your fair share of injuries. I mean, not just today that we have this podcast is due to injury again, but then your first season, you make 25 appearances. Everything seems to be going well. And then you rupture your Achilles against PSV.
And that
ruled you out for the rest of the campaign and the final in essence. So, yeah, injuries has been a bit of bad luck in your career.
Over the years. It was something I was really difficult to deal with it because and always catch me on the moments I was seeing myself. Yes, I'm improving, I'm learning, I can achieve bigger things. And then I had problems. And then, and always when you come back from injuries and from, especially when you spend a few months out to recover the level and to be able to play again, is every time it happens, it's harder.
It's match fitness, isn't it? It's match fitness, isn't it? Training's okay, but it's when you just lose a little bit of an edge when you're out. It's a rustiness core, but it's just getting back to where you was. And it's so frustrating. But you must, I think your time a little, the one, probably, well, two games really that probably hurt you most was the Chelsea semi-final when we John Arnorisa, the last minute, the on goal, remember?
Mm-hmm.
That killed us. 1-0, away goals count double then. And I remember going to Stamford Bridge for the semi-final. You scored, didn't you? Did you score?
No, it was the other year.
Or was it?
4-4.
Was it? Ah, that's right. I'm getting mixed up. But that was frustrating, you know, to get beat by them after
being got injuries on the semi-final. That's the game you were talking about.
You scored in that one, didn't you?
No, I scored this other one.
The 4-4?
4-4.
Yeah, the 4-4.
Yeah,
that's right.
This was in the semi-final we were playing here at home.
That's right.
And I got an injury on my adductor. And then I think John Arnorisa came on. And then we had the goal that we went with the... I think we drew.
1-0.
Yeah.
1-0, won it.
Yeah, at home. And then it went to extra time, didn't it? Down at Stamford Bridge. And
that's
we lost 3-2 after extra time.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
You must think back to those Champions League campaigns and think, so close to winning, you know, the biggest trophy you could have won.
Yeah, we did a really good season on Champions League. Like, it's always tough, you know. It's always playing against big opponents. At the time, Chelsea was like a step stone for us. Like, we always struggled to win against that Chelsea, and we had two big opportunities, but. Some of the details that always important in football happen on those games. That 4-4, like we were winning 2-0, and then they turn it back 3-2, and then we could get 4-3 and 4-4. So that was some of the most emotional games I think I've played on Champions League.
Yeah, 2008-09, probably your best season for Liverpool. I think you played 33 times, 3 goals, 6 assists. People always remember that incredible week in March 2009 when Liverpool beat Real Madrid 4-0, and then 4 days later you go and win 4-1 at Old Trafford. I mean, life doesn't get much better than that, does it, as a Liverpool player?
Can I just interrupt? That was when, obviously, Man United were a good team.
Mm.
To put the results in perspective, we beat them 7-0, but they, the garbage. That was against a really good old Manchester United side that day. And I was commentating on the... You done a lovely free kick, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I remember that. That must have been nice.
That week, and I remember just prior to that week, Rafa was being questioned. Maybe he wouldn't continue because the team wasn't the good moment. But since that week that we beat Real Madrid and then you beat United away, so then the team start to get confidence and end the season well, not well enough because we were on 2 points, I think, behind, you know, Manchester that season. But yeah, obviously it was my best season here. This season I could enjoy more minutes and be participating more on those games. And that goal on Old Trafford, and the moment was perfect, no? Because Vidic has just been sent off. So it was 2-1 at the time. So you score 1 minute more.
That's right,
So 3-1. That was a good moment. And I'm like,
that was the free kick when he got sent off, wasn't it? I think, was it?
Yeah. Vidic got the sent off and I scored on the free kick.
That's right, yeah.
And you mentioned the league that season. Liverpool was so close going for the title with Manchester United. I think you only lost 2 league games all season, but it wasn't enough. When you look back at that period, what do you think was lacking? You mentioned before about small details. Is there anything you can put your finger on in terms of what cost Liverpool not being able to make that final step?
Yeah, I think it's a season as Premier League or La Liga, any competition that is 38 games, is normal the team goes through some bad moments during this period. So it depends how bad and how long it can take. You know, like if we talk about this season now, Liverpool, for example, we talk about the bad decision from Tottenham's game at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
So those few points could make a difference at the end.
Huge
difference. And at the time, we probably had lost a few points where we shouldn't be. One game, instead of draw winning, we would end up together with United. So this is why every game is really important. And every point is necessary. So this is why we expected that with VAR, those situations wouldn't happen or would have less. But it's not what we are seeing, you know, with VAR nowadays.
Mm.
So sometimes, even with VAR, the decisions are not being made correctly.
Yeah.
So hope that doesn't influence this season with Liverpool now on top of the table. Hope they can managed to continue there and not having mistakes against them.
Yeah, you go from, you know, almost like year after year, Liverpool playing big Champions League quarterfinals, semi-finals, people dreaming of the biggest trophies, and then suddenly the club's in this mess with the ownership situation. You know, Rafa's relationship with the owners deteriorated. You got fan protests demanding a change of ownership. 2009-10, obviously it ends with Rafa actually leaving the club. How difficult was that period as a player when you've gone from such a height to suddenly, you know, the club being in a terrible situation?
Yeah, you try not to be involved, you know, because there's nothing much you can do apart from the games and get the results. But obviously, deep inside, you understand and you are influenced by the situation. And we see how different it's been the last years for Liverpool with the everything working together. Mm. It's what we can see from outside now. No, I'm back in Brazil, but from watching the games, from hearing from people, you see like Liverpool as a whole, you know, as a big thing, like yeah. Works together. Not only the players who go out there and get the results, but everything that on the background seems that they work really well and really connected. And that makes the difference on the result at the end. So I think this is why Klopp and club is being really successful those years.
Yeah.
Well, Hodgson came in then, didn't he?
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
How did you find it on the road? Lovely man, by the way. Lovely man.
No, really nice.
We played a bit negative.
Yeah.
From on the Rafa's, the way Rafa done it, it was very intricate in many ways, the way he played it. But then Roy come in and it was a step backwards. I thought, just how did you find his methods and his ways in training and on the pitch?
Yeah, it was really different from Rafa. As you said, he's such a nice guy, but his work was different. And I think it took for us time to understand and to get the results from that. And we didn't have the time in that situation. So I think, I don't know if he completed that season or Kenny came just before the, I think, or just
January time. Yeah. Kenny took over just for the FA Cup time.
Yeah.
You played in that game, didn't you? The FA Cup game at Old Trafford. It was just, it was only a few days, wasn't it, after Kenny had taken over?
That was the game Steve Gerrard got sent off, didn't he? I think we lost 2-1.
I think we lost 1-0 that one.
Yeah.
United scored early on. Because you obviously, everyone expected you to leave Liverpool in 2010. Because your contract was up.
Together was Benitez still. And with Benitez, I wouldn't continue.
Right.
Because I was just also coming back from an injury that I lost last few months of that season. And then I was expecting they wouldn't renew my contract. And then I recovered just close to the end. I got released by Rafa. But then during summer, Rafa didn't continue as well. They were looking for the position, left back position. And then I said, well, I'm okay if you want to see how I am.
Yeah.
And was Roy on charge? And Roy said, well, for me, it looks good. And then they decide to have a look at me again. Then when they decide to offer me a renewed contract, so that was unexpected, to be honest. But obviously, for me, was a gift to have an opportunity to join more.
Did you come close to signing for anyone else in that period? Or
no.
You were just waiting to see what happened. And and how did things change when Kenny Dalglish took over? Because from the outside, it looked like suddenly there was this injection of positivity.
Yeah, he's a massive figure for the club, you know, and the respect everyone has on him is like it's unbelievable. So only his when he came into the club and stand there and talk to us, like massively respect, and I think that helped at the time.
Yeah,
because Roy didn't have that kind of impact as Kenny did when he came. So I think that influenced at the time for good.
Yeah, and your final season at Liverpool, 2011-12. I mean, that was obviously a difficult one. You didn't play so much. I think Jose Enrique would have come in around that point. And like in terms of like the competition, because obviously you had lots of left backs in that period. Like De Senna had been here, obviously, and Insua as well. How did you as a player kind of handle that when like someone else comes in who's competing for the same role?
You know, unfortunately, I was more worried about like I was fighting against myself because of all the problems and dangers I'd been through. So was my only concern was to be
on yourself, yeah,
to be ready and like on my feeling good and being able to go outside there and try to get my opportunities on training sessions. Like if I'm feeling well, I think I can cope with that on training. I can show I still can be useful for the club. So that was my thought. And I think in my last season here was the season I have less problems. So I kept myself fit, but I didn't have much opportunities. But was something I had to deal with it because I knew also we had another players. Rose was really fit at the time. He was coming from, I think, Newcastle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Came from Newcastle. So I understand the club situation and how things works now. And with all the problems, you keep the same level of intensity the game asks you every season. It's not easy. And I had to cope with that in my condition.
Yeah. Was it difficult mentally coping with that?
Yeah, it was really difficult.
That'd be tough.
Because, no, I think I was kind of strong in that sense because when a problem happened, I said, well, I was doing all of this, didn't work. I still got the injury. So what should I do more? Yeah. So I was always trying to do something more or something different to evitate another one. Yeah. You know? But the risk of having another injury is when you had one previously.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the risk was always there. So, and I did some studies. And I realized after, now I understand more what I had lived during the career, that genetically I wasn't that favored about the injuries because right. Some of my injuries, they were always like a muscle with tendons and or fascial problems. Because sometimes I would have a calf problem, but the scan were okay, like the muscle, no, muscle is good. No. But the first week I was like so painful, I couldn't walk properly. They said, but the exam is okay. So then I understand the problems I had was on the fascia who covers the muscle and it's really painful at the beginning. So this is why once the pain was gone, I would improve really quick because I wouldn't lose the power. The muscle was strong, but I learned that with time.
Yeah.
And genetically, my connective tissue that is fascial is bad quality. So, and with all the diet, all the food I was eating, I would improve that. But even like that, it wasn't the perfect one.
Yeah.
So, you know, like I was fighting against something that I would never be
that's
able to like.
Yeah.
So when you get people who say, oh, he's injury prone.
Yeah, yeah,
obviously, that's told you quite a lot why it happens with certain players. We didn't have a clue years ago.
No.
You know, that's it. I find that really interesting.
But you only really found out in your later stage of your career, which is kind of a bit annoying, right? Would have been nice to maybe be able to do better steps earlier if you had known. What did the medical department of Liverpool during those 6 years change to allow you to discover this, or was it your own research?
Yeah, to be honest, it was like with time and with circumstances, because we had a Spanish physio, I don't know if you remember him, Victor at the time, Victor Salinas.
Yeah.
And he took me to Barcelona to do like a DNA test and to check everything about my body, food I should eat, everything. And because he said, I had a few calf problems in one of the seasons that you must have a lot of scar tissue on the calves to have problems after problems. And we went to do an echography to see how the scars were. No scars were found.
Mm.
This is when we start to understand. So it's not the mass of the problem. The problem is the tissue that covers it. And
So they must do that now, obviously. That must be covered.
I don't know how does that work now in the clubs, but... at the time, I didn't have the opportunity to deal with it because it was late stage, as you said.
Sure. Late, yeah.
And as more now, I keep on training, keep on looking after myself, and because I want to be fit, I want to enjoy the game, play with my friends back in Brazil, and I love that. So, and I like to eat, so I need to train.
Oh,
well, the more you work, as more you learn, and nowadays the medicine is going really really forward on that way. So you try to remember this, remember that, and you are putting things together, and you understand sometimes why it happened.
And then lastly, before we move into the last part of including our little quiz that we prepared for you.
A quiz for you, mate.
Yes. When you left Liverpool, you actually said goodbye to the lovely weather as well here and went back to Brazil, to Grêmio, which incidentally is where Lucas Leiva went as well towards the end of his career, right, didn't he?
Where he started as well.
Where he started as well. But he joined them when they were in the second division, right? Bringing them back up. So you joined them.
Suarez played there as well, didn't he, recently?
Suarez.
Yeah, they were neighbors, weren't they? Lucas was saying him and Luis were neighbors.
That's right.
So I'm trying to get Lucas to get Luis Suarez on the podcast. So
we'll have to go to Miami to film that.
Sounds terrible. Sounds terrible. But the last 2 years at Grêmio for you, was that just sort of your way to get back into Brazil, or was it a good time? Like, what? How do you remember that last 2 years of your career?
Once, just before I renewed the contract here with Liverpool in 2010, Luxemburgo, he was at Flamengo back in Brazil. And he would like to take me back to Brazil at that time, because I had played with him in the Olympics. And when he was at Madrid, when I was at Valencia, he talked to me at the time as well. But this time, 2010, I said, no, I'm still looking for something in Europe. And then I renewed the contract with Liverpool. And once I finished here in 2012, he was at Grêmio. Mm. So perfect. As soon as I finished here, he called me to take me to Grêmio. So I said, well, this is the perfect time. I don't think in England, or knowing more or less those problems, fascia problems, the weather doesn't help with that type of injury, because it gets more like, I don't know the word, but the heating or the hot weather, the fascia gets more soft or released. Yeah.
So the muscle stiff.
So then I thought, well, Grêmio could be a great opportunity to go back and finish in Brazil, the project he presented and everything. And it's more or less the Europe of Brazil, you know, like the south of Brazil used to be a bit, the weather not that hot and good food, good life as well. So I had the 1 year and a half there. But the same, I arrived there with Zé Roberto. You know Zé Roberto?
Oh, yeah.
From Madrid.
Yeah.
So we both were signed and we were presented the same day. And did the preseason with Dan, and we were supposed to do the debut on the Sunday against Atlético Mineiro, first game of Brazilian League. On the Saturday, we were doing the training session. Like normally in Brazil, we have a training session before the game. It's just like jokes like that.
Yeah.
Separate two teams, and the goalkeeper goes as forward. Yeah. The forward goes as a goalkeeper. He's always laughing and just to move a little bit. And we were playing a game, and I had a ball. The striker came in, like, give a tackle, but on the ball. I said, I won't get involved, you know, like, you're nowhere. So when I jumped, when I stepped on the other side with one foot, my knee went down, went back, and I had a cruciate ligament rupture.
I didn't know.
So just prior to my first game for the club. So.
So unlucky, isn't it?
And curiosity or no, like the exam I told you about the genetic things, they were saying, and I remember that when that happened, it was 2 years before. You are high chances to have a ligament rupture. So when I had ligament, okay, now that must be right. And then I had a few months to recover from that. I think 8 months, I think, at the time. Then I came back, played a few games, and ended the career.
When you look back on your career, and it's been a great career, mate. You know, if you could go back and experience one game you ever played in, which would you love to go back and play in again? I've got a few quick fire questions here for you. That's the first one.
One game I'd go back
to. One game that you loved, and it was a great game. I'd love to do that again.
Yeah, I think it must be United game.
Who was the best manager you ever played with? Your favorite manager? Could be anyone, going back to when you're youth or what?
I would say Rafa. He's part of most of my career was under his command.
Rafa. Mm. And when you look back on your career, what are you most proud about?
I think I always think like with all the problems I've been through, I think he managed to do a career with all the ups and downs.
Mm.
17 years, I think, of professional, because I made my debut in São Paulo with 17. So that is my, like...
Dealing with all the problems mentally as
because
well.
I know normally once you have problems, because I had a serious cartilage problem in Valencia one time when I got to the national team. So that I thought like I would have ended my career at the time because it took me almost a year and a half because it was come back and I had to do a surgery again. And so I said, this is... And then when I look back now and after that, I played more years for Valencia. I played for Liverpool 6 years. I ended in Brazil. So it's, I think was coming through every step, like being able to stand up again and do it again. Yeah. It was like
it's like a boxer getting knocked down and you get back up.
And what people say, it doesn't matter how many times you fall down. It's
got to get back up. Absolutely.
It's interesting. It could be we had Daniel Agger on the podcast a while back. And he said that when he stopped playing, he struggled because he'd had a lot of injuries. He had this feeling of, I could have done more. I should have done more. If only this hadn't happened. If only this hadn't happened. But he said over time, he's been able to appreciate more what he did achieve rather than what he couldn't achieve.
Good shot, man.
Is that the same?
Yeah,
do you kind of relate to that in terms of, because when, you know, you could think about all the games that you couldn't play in, but actually if someone had said to you as a kid that you go on that journey that you went on, I'm sure you would have said, yes.
Just only missed like a... Twice I had the opportunity to go with Brazil first team because I went through all the under 15, 17, 23 and professional was like my dream coming through. And twice I had the opportunity and because of injuries, I couldn't be involved. So this is one thing I look back and say, no, totally, what a pity, no, like that would be like to complete the dream.
Yeah.
But as Agger said, and I agree with that, the more you look back, it could be much worse now. And I couldn't have achieved most of the things I could done.
Yeah.
And obviously, John didn't bring his reading glasses, so one quick fire question was missed, which is, who was the best player you ever played with during your career?
Oh, yeah, I did actually miss that one.
That's a difficult one. Difficult one.
And you can't say me in the Legends game.
Are you Wisconsin? No, it's Stevie.
Stevie's got to be me. Yeah, he's just awesome, wasn't he? Yeah, he'd be up.
I think everyone sees what Stevie can do on the match days, but join him every day, training sessions, you really see what he's capable of, and his quality is amazing.
So you won all these trophies in Spain, you played with Ronaldinho in the youth setup in Brazil, and Stevie G still towers over all of them.
Yeah, for me.
Amazing.
That tells you so.
It tells you a lot, in my opinion.
Best Liverpool player of all time, in my opinion, Stevie. And this is Aldo Meets with, again, Fabio, James and Peter Schreisenhausen.
Yeah, Fabio, let's just chat briefly about the current Liverpool team. Obviously, a strong South American contingent with Alisson, McAllister, Diaz, and Nunes. Going back to your time together, obviously you had Lucas, you had Mascherano and Sua. Do you think that helps kind of having that kind of support network around for the South American boys?
It's always good when you have someone that have the same base you had, you know? So the connection is really easy to do it, and I think it helps a lot.
And obviously Brazil are blessed to have two exceptional goalies in Alisson and Ederson. What what's the kind of, what's the feeling back home about who's got the edge in that battle?
Yeah, it's difficult, no? Because some would say Ederson, some would say Alisson. Right. I'm more Alisson because I think Ederson, I think, is better than Alisson with his feet. Mm-hmm. But the goalie needs to be first, a goalie.
Yeah. And, absolutely, I think, yeah.
Alisson.
I like that. First of all, a goalie is a goalie.
Yeah.
Don't forget, he's got to make the save. He's got to be a great goalkeeper. And the rest is a bonus. I know the game's evolved and you have to be good on your feet. But I'm with you on that one. That's a good shout, that.
Yeah. And we saw Brazil beat England recently at Wembley. There was a lot of talk about Endrick, this young boy coming through. I think he's off to Real Madrid, isn't he, this summer. How good is he? And is there a lot of excitement back home over him being the next kind of big thing?
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of excitement. Madrid bought him for, I think, 40 million plus some bonuses. They already paid because he did really well last season with first team of Palmeiras. So everyone was a bit worried because his first few games weren't that good. But since he starts to play well, he's been like that for his team, for the national team. Last week, people were talking like he scored 3 goals in 3 different counters in a week. And the decision goes like, once he went back to Brazil after internationals, he played semifinal for Palmeiras and they won 1-0, he scored again.
Good so mentality, though.
I think he calls more attention because of that. He seems to be really focused and prepared for what is coming. So that's good because normally Brazilian players, we don't have much of good examples outside the pitch. So
yeah.
We hope he can not only enjoy his career and be a joy for all who loves the game, but also be a good example, especially for next generations.
Yeah, I know all Liverpool fans are waiting at the moment to see who takes over from Jurgen Klopp this summer. A lot of us were expecting Xabi Alonso to be that person. He's now ruled himself out of the running. What did you make of that decision by him to stay loyal to Leverkusen? And who would you like to see take over from Klopp? You know, maybe, you know, De Zerbi's been mentioned, you know, Amorim at Sporting, even, you know, Nagelsmann, who's in charge of Germany at the moment. Where do you think Liverpool should turn?
I think, to be honest, it was like difficult to see Xavi's interview because I think in the situation the club has to replace Klopp is not easy. Xavi is the only one, I think, who have a really good connection with people and the fans that would have more time and more patience on substituting Klopp. But I think it's really respectful from Xavi that maybe he doesn't feel prepared for that situation yet. Mm-hmm. And it's really difficult to say no for Liverpool, especially in his situation. But I think he's being honest with everyone and himself as well about it. And it's even more difficult to say who would be the right man for the job because Klopp is unique and will be really difficult to replace him. And everyone who comes now will have that weight on his shoulder to not do what he have done because I don't know if that will be possible. Hope so. But if you look at the market now, you don't see someone that could keep the same as what he has done. So, I think Michael, he discovered Klopp once and maybe no one would expect what he did for the club at the time when he arrived. So why it couldn't happen again? I hope so.
And I have to say, I mean, if you compare the team that he inherited, when you look at the first team that he played with and the names on that team sheet to what we've got playing right now and sitting on the bench, also in terms of the young players, it feels to me that whoever, it's a big, big job to pick up from him, but you're being given better tools to do the job.
Well, he's left, honestly, when Jurgen does go, he's got a vibrant squad.
Absolutely.
A youthful squad compared to last year. And you've got like 4 or 5 very good up-and-coming young lads that add to that.
Yeah.
Plus, they're going to buy in the summer, obviously. Whoever comes in, get a couple of players that suits the way he plays. Obviously, he can't, in my opinion, tinker too much with what how we play and change it drastically because it wouldn't work for me. But look, it's a gamble. Whoever comes in, it's a massive gamble. You look at go back to United, you know, Ferguson left and they've never been the same. He couldn't replace him, but he left with an aging squad, an aging team. But Jurgen's moved out now, all the tools on the table. Here you go. It's ready, prepared. It's shown, especially if we go on and we can keep top of the league. But yeah.
So if you got the call, John, you'd be up for it, yeah?
Oh, I'm there. Already.
Couldn't afford his wages.
Anyway, we're going to have the quiz now, aren't we?
Lovely
this
quiz.
Is going to be. So who's leading the quiz at the moment? Lucas won, eh? Was it Lucas or no?
5 out of 6, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I think it was Lucas.
If you've done all right, so there's no pressure, fam.
It's related to memory.
Do you want to do the quiz? Go on, you do the quiz.
James, come on. That's
are you sure?
So, it's your quiz, James.
I can't handle the pressure.
Go on, mate.
And, Odo, why is there 6 questions?
It's 6 questions simply because Liverpool Football Club's won the Champions League 6 times, and we haven't won the league once. We've won it 19 times. So for all those knobheads on Twitter that keep on saying about this one champ, no, history. Have a look. 6 times, 6 questions, all the best.
Right. Number one. Who did you make your Liverpool debut against?
It's not a good start, mate, is
it? Was it was, on the charity show?
Yes.
Yeah.
Chelsea,
well done,
correct.
Mate. Well done.
1 out of 1. Number two, who did you score your first Liverpool goal against?
Bolton
Wanderers. Correct. Flying. Liverpool fans always remember your free kick against Manchester United. Torres and Gerrard also scored that day. Which other Liverpool player was on the score sheet?
Dossena,
3 out of 3.
It was easy.
3 out of 3.
The number four, how many goals did you score for Liverpool in total?
4.
Wow, he's flying.
I know.
Again,
scary.
Number five, against which club did you make your final Liverpool appearance?
I think it was Fulham.
Oh,
5 out of 5. This is the sixth and final one. Did you play more or less games for Liverpool than Luis Suarez?
Wow.
Less, of course.
More.
Than Luis Suarez?
Yes, 134 to 133.
Congratulations, by the way. You didn't even know.
Did you get the last one right?
No,
it's 5 out of 6. That's
very
good.
5 out of 6.
We got 2 Brazilian on the top.
Well done, mate.
Well done.
Who's next, Beth?
Well, from me, that's all. And it's been an absolute pleasure. So, Fabio, well done, pal.
Thank you very much, mate.
Great to see you.
Great to be with you.
Great to have you with us, Fabio.
Yeah. Thank you, Fabio. Brilliant.
And James.
Thank you very much.
It's been a great podcast. Look out for us for the next one. Could be someone who scores a lot of goals for Liverpool. Hopefully.